Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, October 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Younger Americans are powering down screens and looking into the analog world. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the end of the year will be here before you know it. And now's the time to make some smart tax moves before December 31st. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Elizabeth Bafardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners and co-chair of the Personal Financial Planning Forum for the Illinois CPA Society in Oak Brook. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about some of the smart tax moves that you can make before the end of the year, just in general, how did the tax and spending bill that was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Trump earlier this year, how does that change the math, and how does that change some of the end-of-the-year strategies that you can employ to knock down that tax bill come next April?
So the thing that's really interesting is that there's a lot of people who weren't able to itemize for the last several years might be able to itemize in starting in 2025, meaning that most of the people that weren't able to itemize in the past, particularly married filing joint filers, were limited to the $10,000 for the state and local tax deduction. And so if you had real estate taxes of 20 grand and then you had, you know, state taxes of another 10, you only got to deduct the 10 instead of the whole 30,000. But now that the limit has been raised to $40,000, I think a lot more people are going to be able to itemize. So keeping track of all of the receipts, whether it's, you know, the real estate taxes that you paid, the mortgage interest that you paid, and all of the charitable stuff that you give, I think that's going to go a long way to changing some people's tax returns.
And that starts out with tip number one. Be sure to front load your charitable giving now. We talk about charitable giving, especially towards the end of the year, but there's no time like the present to start that charitable giving.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure the charities will be thrilled about this, this year in particular.
And then when it comes to your property taxes, and this is kind of a sticky wicket for Cook County property taxpayers, because the second installment bills are still out there in the ether somewhere. They have not been mailed yet. But if you do have the opportunity to pay your property tax bill now, you should probably do that.
Well, so the $40,000 limitation lasts from 2025 until 2028. So for the next 4 years, it might not necessarily be as advantageous to pay it early, but it's certainly not going to hurt anything if you do.
And then we always talk about tax loss harvesting on the Noon Business Hour, why you should invest in a couple of dogs just so you can use the losses to save on capital gains. How can you do that right now?
So if you sell something for a loss and you decide, oh, you know, I really do want to buy that back, you have to, or you should wait 30 days in order to do that. Technically, probably even 31, just to be on the super safe side of things. Because if you buy it back on, say, day 29, then that loss is considered a wash sale loss, and you're not going to be allowed to deduct that in 2025. You'll have to wait until you sell the stock again, and then you'll be able to net the loss with any potential gain later.
Elizabeth Bifardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners and co-chair of the Personal Financial Planning Forum for the Illinois CPA Society in Oak Brook, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, digital fatigue is prompting younger people to explore other outlets.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A growing trend among young people shows them unplugging from screens and rediscovering real-world experiences, boosting businesses tied to fitness, travel, recreation, and hands-on activities. We welcome in Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And of course, you can find him online at theretaildoctor.com. But this whole segment, Bob, is about not finding you online. In fact, finding you in real life. And how are some businesses pivoting to these digital refugees?
Wait, why am I on this call then? Well, I think it's an interesting time because, you know, in this story we're hearing, oh, Gen Z wants to unplug and they want to, you know, go outside and do all these different tactile things. And at the same time, they're the ones that are using AI the most on their phones. So I think it's a dichotomy, but the companies and the brands that are, you know, looking to benefit from this are things as diverse as Hasbro, Mattel, and board game publishers, all the way to the obvious ones like anything to do with outdoor recreation and, you know, Lululemon or Deckers or anyone that makes clothing that helps you, and footwear in particular, that helps you get out there. So I think it's a great trend. It's kind of like having to reparent their mind to say, get the dopamine from something you feel rather than something you watch, huh?
I can understand where they're coming from, though, because there's a point in your day and in your life where maybe your brain just says, enough, I don't want to see another person talking into their phone with that automatic captioning popping up underneath their mouth. This video is giving me a headache. Let's go to the national park. Let's go to the pumpkin patch. Let's go do something that'll tear me away from this phone at least for 3 hours or so. You can post the pictures to Instagram when you're done, but you need to have the experience first.
Well, that's great. And I live in upstate New York, and I was out to get some apples the other day, and I went to our local apple farm. My goodness, you'd think that it was, I don't know, Christmas. All of the cars and the young families there with their teenagers and, you know, I don't know, 7 to 10 year olds as well. And the family was going apple picking. And I thought that was really interesting because who needs to go do that? And isn't that something you might have done like once? But no, apparently this is becoming a big trend. So I appreciate it. And I hope that it's happening more and more. I wish I could get out of it. But, you know, with like 500,000 followers, I'm kind of tied to my phone. But the wish is there, right? We want to be able to unplug it. Do you unplug your phone, Rob?
Well,
do you get walk away?
Honestly, I mean, this is really interesting you talk about this because I ended up doing a jigsaw puzzle once, and I really got into the jigsaw puzzle. And this is you kind of really can't turn away from your phone entirely, especially in this business, because news is always changing and you always have to stay on top of current events. But I put the phone down, put this puzzle together. It took about 3 hours to do it. And honestly, I felt so refreshed and so happy when it was done because you didn't have this constant sense of stimuli. And I'm 45 having this conversation. So for other people who have this is all they've ever known is just having a phone and just having all of this stuff beam directly into their brain. Walking away for at least 3 hours or more could be a transformative experience.
Well, I think so, and I'm much older than you. You probably could be 60s, but you know, I like gardening, and one of the things that I do on the weekends, like no work, but there's a sense of completion when you do board games and you do treks out in the wilderness. There's a beginning, middle, and end. Whereas when you're on the doom scroll, you're, holy crap, that was an hour and a half I was looking down at my phone, right? We get lost in that ether world, and there is no beginning, middle, or end. You just evaporate into that. So I applaud anyone that is doing that. Unless you're looking for the retail doctor, then go to retaildoc.com and don't put down your phone. But on the other side, I think we are more healthy to build community, and particularly in the world I work in, which is retailers, to look up and notice that there's a person, or outside there's a bird, or you stumble on a rock, and the brain has to make a shift and say, I'm in the real world now. And isn't that great?
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some corners of the market are frothing again, including so-called meme stocks. Joining us to talk about how to build an anti-meme portfolio and focus instead on long-term quality wealth creation, we welcome in Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal's Barron's and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And we need to point out that meme stocks have always been with us. They predate the internet. They just had different names, where analysts or a group of analysts would get together and invest in something just as a joke.
Well, that's right. And, you know, they, of course, don't think of it as a joke so much as they think of it as a bet, or a sort of a lottery type bargain, where they think it could skyrocket in just a couple days' time. It's really at the opposite end of the spectrum from long-term investing, the kind of investing that, for example, Warren Buffett made famous at Berkshire Hathaway, where you buy a stock because of its quality business model. It's making money. It doesn't have a lot of debt. It pays a dividend, and all the other things you'd look for if you were hoping to buy something for the long term. None of those factors, I call quality factors, are taken into account when you want to buy a stock that you think is going to skyrocket overnight. What you're hoping is that somebody else, and in fact, a lot of somebody else's, will buy that stock with you and force the stock up very quickly overnight.
Of course, now with the internet and social media, it just makes the notion of meme stock trading that much more. It just puts more energy into the process and invites more people in. But if you want to make money in a different way, how can you bet against the meme stock craze?
Well, one way, which of course is risky too, would be to actually sell short those stocks that are getting a lot of social media attention. The reason that's risky is that even though on average you'll end up making money, according to a lot of research, now and then a meme stock will go way up. I mean, the classic example is GameStop a number of years ago, which skyrocketed something like 400% in a week or two's time. So if you're selling short a stock like that, you're really going to lose a lot of money. So I don't really want to suggest that, even though the research suggests that on average meme stocks do lose money. But I think the safer way, long-term investment way of betting against meme stocks is to buy the stocks that have those qualities that are not looked at and looked at by people who buy meme stocks. And I was mentioning some of them earlier. Any of the things that you would imagine would be quote-unquote quality, what you'd look for in a balance sheet that would impress you that a company really is a quality company. It has little debt. It's making money. It has strong growth. It doesn't have, it ends up earning and paying out a large dividend. All of those kind of qualities are ones you'd look for if you want a stock that's going to be held for the long term. They tend to be boring, however. They just are slow and steady, winning the race over time. And it's exactly the opposite of the kind of lottery or bets that you'd look for in a meme stock.
It seems like the larger point, though, is that when the meme stock craze first kicked off, a lot of it was driven by certain online discussion forums, and people were quick to point out that those who are taking part in the meme stock craze, chances are they have the money and the financial means to goof around like that. And they showed off the fact they had Bloomberg terminal access. So clearly they have the means just to have fun in that way. But a lot of people don't.
Well, that's right. And unfortunately, it's the people who don't who get drawn in and end up buying at sort of the peak of the craze. if you are a sophisticated investor and know how to play the game and can get in early before the craze is really hit, and then you sell to the suckers who end up buying at the top, you can end up making a lot of money. But on average, if you look at the average dollar that buys a meme stock, it loses money. And in fact, it's not just by a little bit. One study found that if you bought the stocks that are most in social media attention, which is one measure of meme stock, and you bought every day you bought the stock that was most in attention in a meme stock way, you'd lose 5% over the subsequent month. So that's quite a bit of money.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are lower this afternoon. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Mike, thank you for joining us today. And after kind of a strong start to trading today, markets have turned negative. Anything happened during the day to explain it?
Good afternoon, Rob, and thanks for having me on. I think investors need to get used to days like these in earnings season. So we've had a bunch of earnings, most of them financials, and Bank America, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, they've all crushed earnings. And the stocks went up yesterday, and now the banks are kind of like treading water to selling off. And the rest of the market is kind of like, just show me better than they're basically asking for, better than what the analysts are expecting. So normally when you beat, you know, an analyst prediction for earnings, the stock at least hangs in there. But I think this earnings season is going to be different. I think that the valuations in the market are so high that the beat that's going to have to happen for your stock to go up is going to have to be extraordinary, like JP Morgan's was. They crushed earnings. Goldman Sachs crushed earnings. And those stocks, Goldman's just rallied back to be up on the day, but it's been down all day. So stocks that are crushing earnings, meaning beating it by 10, 20%, they're going to be okay. But if you come in right on line or just above, expect those stocks to sell off. That's what we're seeing right now, because the market is just expecting insane beat here, just because I can tell that by the valuation we have right now. I mean, we're trading like 21, 22 PE in the S&P 500, and that just means that expectations are very high.
So instead of just NVIDIA being priced for perfection, now the market writ large needs to be priced for perfection.
No, that's what it's happening. It's exactly. It's priced almost for perfection. So if you can come in and be like a Goldman Sachs and beat by 10%, 15% like they did yesterday or Tuesday, then you'll get a rally. But that's what it's going to take for a lot of these stocks. And expect some big down moves in some of the names that have good earnings, just because the expectations are too high. We love the banks. We love this stat called Rocket Lab, which is unbelievable. And we love foreign countries against the S&P right now because it's just too valued, too high valued. I like Vietnam. Just it's had a heck of a year. It's going to have another great year. Those are the names I would look at, because a lot of these tech names, it's going to be hard for them to continue to go up with the valuations they have right now.
And then how is the government shutdown impacting some of the volatility that we're seeing here? Because you're going strictly off of earnings reports due to a lack of official government reporting information.
Yeah, right. It's just a nuisance, to be honest with you. Government shutdown, believe it or not, the country runs just fine. In fact, it's probably better off without the government half the time, to be honest with you. But so that's not going to affect things in the long run at all. It's just a good headline and a good read and maybe a little bit of volatility. But market participants are too smart to know that these stocks are going to be fine regardless if the government has a two-week shutdown or a month shutdown or no shutdown. So it's just news, and I would focus more on these earnings numbers that are coming out.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, Mark, making artificial intelligence your new best friend.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. More Americans are turning to AI companions for comfort and connection, but there are downsides, including the risk of emotional dependence and blurred boundaries between humans and machines. Joining us to discuss warning signs that things have turned unhealthy, or quite frankly creepy, is Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And maybe I'm just a Luddite, Matt, but I don't understand this at all. I use AI tools for various tasks that I have to accomplish throughout the day. In fact, I used it to I use it most frequently to come up with recipes for some of the CSA vegetables we have around the house before they go bad. But that's the extent of it. And I don't see myself asking ChatGPT for anything else above and beyond a recipe with the following ingredients. But a lot of other people do.
Thanks for having me back, Rob. So first thing, let me ask you a very quick question. Have you ever actually used ChatGPT in voice mode? So you're not actually typing a question to it. You have it on your phone. You're speaking to it and having it speak back to you.
I have not. I have not used the voice assistant. I just, it's good old-fashioned typing. That's good enough for me.
Okay. So that, you know, it's one thing that a lot of folks actually don't realize that that is an option, that you can do that. And obviously ChatGPT isn't the only AI. There's a lot of different AI programs out there. And there are even some specific AI programs out there that are sort of meant and designed to be almost like a companion, someone that you are chatting back and forth with. And again, it doesn't matter if you're typing or if you're speaking, but either way, you know, this kind of gets to a sort of almost a new way of people getting their ideas out there and getting, you know, some sort of feedback back on their ideas and their conversations. A lot of folks do feel disconnected, and where, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a lot of folks were turning to social media and they would just, you know, go post on someone's Facebook or on their Snapchat and they would get a response back from the other folks that are there that they're talking to. It's a similar experience to speak to an AI chatbot. And ultimately, some of the same dangers sort of exist, that the AI chatbot is going to ultimately learn how you talk, learn what you like. It's going to reflect the ideas that you're presenting back to you. And so that's where some of the dangers can come into play. But there are actual, you know, specific companion type AIs like Replica and Character AI, in addition to like Chatbot and Gemini and X.
Now, we do have some red flags where maybe your relationship as a human being is with the AI chatbot, whoever that may be. There are some signs that it could be taking a very unhealthy turn.
Absolutely. And I mean, the first thing to remember, too, is even though it's going to seem very much like you're talking to a person, you're not talking to a person. You're talking to a program, basically. You're talking to something that is effectively making a mathematical decision as to what word should come next. It's not a person that actually has, you know, logic and feelings and emotions. And some of those red flags are the same, to a certain degree, some of the types of red flags that you would have if you're, you know, putting your information out on social media or out on, you know, a public discussion board. You don't want to be sharing personal information. You don't want to be sharing financial information, health information. And you do need to be very cautious of the fact that, you know, there's a very low sort of threshold of people responding to you. They don't have an actual personal relationship with you on social media, and AI has absolutely no actual personal relationship with you. It's a program. It can't. So you do need to be very careful about actually like withdrawing from actual human connection and getting sucked into this essentially synthetic conversation.
And then this is before we even talk about Sam Altman's revelation this week that they're he's opening up some of the restrictions on chat on OpenAI to allow for erotica, and that's almost like a science fiction genre in and of itself.
Yeah, personally, I'm a little frightened of where AI will take that. I think, you know, frankly, I think regular erotica can possibly go too far sometimes. But that's my own opinion. When it comes to AI, though, the main thing to think about here in terms of the safety factors are just number one, understanding that, again, this is a program. This is not a real person. You have to be careful with it. And, you know, while we have to talk about the risks, you also do, to a certain degree, have to talk about some of the potential benefits. Sometimes it is difficult to express your ideas to another person, and you know, you can almost use AI possibly as like practice for that, or for some, you know, frankly, some of the older generation, the people who we would think would be less likely to use this, this might give them an outlet, someone to have conversations, but you know, a chatbot to have a conversation with when they don't really feel that they have some of the connections, or they don't have access to the other types of connections that they would have. So there are potential benefits, but also, yeah, you know, how far folks are going to take it, that's where you really start. The further on the edges you place it, that's where you do have to be very, very cautious.
Matt Wren, tech expert and founder, VRAR Chicago in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new immersive magic experience is set to open just off the Magnificent Mile. Joining us with a preview is Rachel Herzog, reporter for Crane Chicago Business. Rachel, thank you for joining us today. Now, I just imagine if you go into this new restaurant in the McCormick Mansion just off the Magnificent Mile called The Hand and the Eye, the magician will come up to your table, and then instead of pulling a rabbit out of his hat, he'll pull a prime rib out of a cart in tribute to Lowry's.
Yeah, it certainly could be something like that. It's set to open next spring. It's a really unique concept that combines, you know, upscale dining with, you know, aiming to be the performance venue for some of the world's, you know, most premier magicians.
Now, we point out that this location at 100 East Ontario, the Hand of the Eye, this is in the longtime home of Lowry's, the prime rib, where many a person enjoyed a Diamond Jim Brady cut of meat after closing an especially wealthy deal. But Lowry's fell victim to the COVID pandemic and the economic fallout from it. So it has been redeveloped into a new, it's not just a restaurant, though. This time it's an experience. That seems to be the way the Mag Mile is going. It's going away from shopping and dining and going towards more experiential venues.
Yeah, that's certainly the trend, even though there is a food and beverage component here. You know, you see a lot of these interactive retail uses like the Museum of Ice Cream, like The Cube, a gaming venue coming to 600 North Michigan or 360 Chicago. You know, those are the things that are really drawing foot traffic and really kind of reshaping the retail scene downtown.
And this is next spring. Now, this was announced earlier this year, many months ago. So is there just a lot of work going into the building? Did a lot of work need to be done in the years in which it was abandoned? Why is it taking so long?
Yeah, I mean, they said it's a $50 million project. So this is a pretty extensive renovation. If you look at some of the renderings that we've got online, you know, it's a really really upscale type of interior that they're doing there. And they're also, you know, there's a lot of historic preservation involved. You know, this building was built in 1889. So certainly expensive to preserve and restore a lot of those original finishes and things like that that are in there.
So say goodbye to Lowry. Say hello to The Hand and the Eye coming next spring. Rachel Herzog, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.